Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's MapTech, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you're dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome to all our listeners to America's Great Loop Cruisers Association's weekly blog radio. I open this morning with some very, very sad news. Our very, very loved member and well-known by all of our loopers, Gordy Brown, has passed. Sue wants us all to go on as usual, and I know Gordy would too. They were just wonderful people. So, for those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, including the Atlantic and Gulf intracoastal waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. AGLCA is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and a curiosity about America's Great Loop. Our association's primary purpose is to disseminate information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org, and we'd love for everyone to visit, and if you're not already one, please become a member. If you remember, last fall we invited Jim Stewart, service manager of AGLCA sponsor Winter Harbor Marina, to tell us about winterizing your boat. Now that, well, the warmer weather is back, but not for Jim, Jim is returning to talk about how to get your boat ready for the cruising season this spring. If you have any questions at all for any of the home port crew, which includes Beth and Steve and myself, or Jim, please feel free to call in. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. Okay, Jim, tell us the first steps to get ready for the cruising season.
Well, the first step I would go into would be checking all your bilge pumps, making sure that they're all in operation and clean and free of all debris, and make sure all the connections and float switches look good.
Is that a difficult thing to do, Jim?
Well, you can visually inspect them all, you know, just getting down to each one of them closely and looking at them and checking the float switches and make sure there's nothing blocking them from raising up or anything holding them down to keep them from not coming on. And usually the bilges should be good and clean for a spring launch.
How often do you suggest you clean your bilges?
I would keep them clean annually, but normally when you're winterizing a boat in the fall, you get a lot of antifreeze in the bilges and you get a lot of fluids and stuff. Most of the people, you know, they're in a hurry to get the boat closed up, and then they get closed up and the bilges are dirty and oily, and they should be rinsed out thoroughly with some soap and water to keep them pumps clean, because once them pumps start getting oily and fluids on them, they tend to shorten the life period. So I guess I would have to say that keep the bilges clean annually, but for the springtime, they should do a thorough cleaning.
Okay, great. Now, recognize that I'm the novice here, so if I'm insulting you or any of our listeners, just tell me, but I imagine there are some new boaters out there too listening, so let's get as much information as we can. Okay, number two on the list, Jim?
Number two is check all batteries. One is I would disconnect them all if, you know, they're capable of doing it. If they're not capable of doing it, have their service yard do it, disconnect them all, and load test them. And hopefully they haven't been stored in the boat for the winter in freezing temperatures. Normally you would take them out of the boat. So what I would suggest to do is load test each individual battery, especially if the boat has multiple batteries, and take out any ones that don't pass the load test and replace with new ones.
When you say the load test, is that something specific to each battery? I imagine each battery has, or different powered batteries have different loads.
Yeah, the load test is the to check the cranking amps ability to the battery and the reserve cranking amps to the battery. Just you put a false load on the battery and see what it draws, and if it doesn't pass the load test, that means it's not going to pass any cranking of an engine or even running a bilge pump for a short period of time. And then that battery would be replaced. Normally a battery, a wet cell battery, is, you know, could be the 3 to 4 years would be its lifespan. But I've seen batteries taken care of well and water put in them annually and not overcharged, and I've seen them last a lot longer than that.
Okay, great. And now the next thing is to check your winterized parts?
Yep. You go through the boat, and anything that's been winterized, your engines, go back through and double-check and make sure that all drain plugs have been put back into the engines. Make sure that all the impellers are all in good shape. Make sure, normally when you're winterizing, you're draining the water out of your impellers, and then when, if we touched on this last fall, if you're running antifreeze, then if you're running a non-toxic antifreeze through the engine, then your impellers should be okay. But you want to make sure that if you crossed over your water heater and left that in a crossover, then you want to unhook that and go back into normal operation and make sure that you've hooked up all your fresh water lines and make sure that anything that's been disconnected as far as through hulls for air conditioning and so on, you need to make sure that all that stuff is hooked back up properly and all clamps double clamped and tightened.
Okay, now we hear a lot about Seacocks. Is there something special we need to do with them to get ready for the spring?
Absolutely. On all your Seacocks, you should go to each one individually, and starting with each one, make sure that the valves open and close. And the ones that need to be closed should stay closed as far as macerator overboards. Those should stay closed, but you should make sure that they open and close properly, and all hoses that are connected to them are okay, not having any cracks in them. And then they should go under the boat and make sure that there's no obstructions of tape, bottom paint, and so on, blocking the through hulls from underneath the Seacock itself. Everything should be open, and they should be able to be closed in an emergency situation. And if that valve cannot operate or not close, that valve should be replaced before the boat gets launched. Otherwise, you could have a pretty good tragedy on your hands.
Now, I'm assuming, obviously, in Winter Harbor, all of the boats are taken out of the water for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Is the procedure for seacocks any different if your boat has stayed in the water?
If your boat has stayed in the water for the winter, obviously, them seacocks, depending on the weather situation of where the boat is, if the boat is still in freezing conditions, them seacocks have been closed, even though the boat is in the water. Those seacocks should be open. But actually, I would suggest any boat that's been winterized and left in the water, I would highly suggest a spring haul out and just check the conditions of the through hulls and the scoops underneath and make sure that there's no blockages or barnacle buildups and other debris that may have taken place over the winter.
See, and I thought Jim was going to say if you left it in the water in the winter up there, you'd have to have your head examined.
Well, there's been some boats up here that have been known to bubble and in the winter time and have failed and sank because of the seacocks not being winterized properly and the valves being closed, and they actually froze and cracked the sea strainers and sank the boat.
Wow. That's pretty. I guess your advice then is to haul it out for the winter.
Well, if you're up in this area, I would. There's a few that still try to do it, but sometimes not so successful.
So you wouldn't drive to the boat, you'd ice skate to the boat.
I've seen them with Christmas trees on them.
Okay, let's talk about something I'm a little more familiar with, belts and hosing. I know in the winter they can crack pretty easily if it's very cold.
Oh, yeah. All your belts and hoses, you know, nothing lasts forever. And, you know, belts should be changed annually. I believe, you know, every couple of years they should be taken off and thrown away and discarded of. And hosing, the wire-reinforced hosing doesn't last forever either. And there's good brands and bad brands, but they should always be checked for cracks and making sure that the clamps are double clamped. A lot of hoses that come from the through hulls up to the engines or up to your air conditionings and so on, that hose is actually what's keeping that boat afloat. If that hose breaks, that boat's going to sink. We always try to make sure that we check overall hoses and clamps and so on when we launch boats, even when we're not winterizing them. We're a heated storage facility, but we always still take a look around when we go down into the engine rooms.
I would imagine that if you want, Winter Harbor would do all of this for you if you're not really proficient yourself.
Absolutely. If you're in our area, you could call Winter Harbor for a service call or a service technician to check on your boat, or we could make arrangements to get an appointment for you, or you know, you could call. We answer a lot of questions for anybody.
Fantastic. Now that we're talking about the services of Winter Harbor, I think we'll break for a minute and do a little commercial spot. Beth, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Okay. Winter Harbor Marina is located on the Oneida River, 1.5 miles west of Oneida Lake in Brewerton, New York, just minutes from Syracuse International Airport. Winter Harbor offers the lowest diesel fuel and gas prices from New York City to Canada. If you find a lower posted documented price, they will match it. Their amenities include complimentary courtesy vehicle, 24-hour pay-at-the-pump fueling, dockside water and cable TV, pristine bathrooms and showers, and emergency haul-out service. For more information, call 315-676-9276 or visit www.winterharborllc.com. Winter Harbor is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Thanks, Beth. That was great. I should mention, as long as we're breaking for a minute, that website, www.winterharborllc.com, you can click on repairs and get checklists for spring commissioning and other information on repairs. So write that down and remember to use it. Okay, Jim, we're ready to finish our checklist.
Okay.
I think we're up to number 6. Check running gear over.
That's correct. Number 6 on this list is check your running gear. I would say starting from the back of the boat all the way up into the engine room, you should check your props, your prop nuts, make sure everything's tight. Make sure that you don't have any bent blades. If you have bent blades or prop damage, it should be taken care of immediately. Should never run a boat with a damaged prop. It does more damage to the engine and the transmissions than, you know, it's just not worth running them like that. So you should start with that. Check your rudders. Make sure your rudders are in good shape. They're not bound up, make sure your steering's all good, and then check your shafts, make sure your couplers are tight, make sure that your keyways are all in place. If you have an inboard outboard or if you have a straight inboard, inboard outboard, you should always check your prop nuts and pull your prop off, grease your splines, check your hubs.
We have another item here, look bottom over. Paint is needed. How often do you recommend that boats in the northern area where it's very cold need paint?
Well, up here, we suggest to paint every couple of years. We don't, suggest painting every year. Some boats are using a harder bottom paint with the paint tends to get a heavy buildup, and when we power wash them in the fall, we try to get most of that off of there so that they're not getting a big buildup of paint where it's starting to crack and peel. But every couple of years in this area would be a good time to paint. But most of our clients from here at Winter Harbor, a lot of them are traveling, and they're in and out of salt water. So a lot of our customers, we paint every year because of their traveling. And most of the time, they're just passing through one way or another. They're usually heading back to salt water. So we usually paint every year in here for most of our clients.
Wow. Expensive proposition, I would imagine. Do you recommend any particular paint?
Well, we use the Micron CSC. The one thing I don't recommend any individual boat owner is to be a do-it-yourselfer when it comes to bottom painting. That should be done by a yard and a licensed application applier. These bottom paints have a lot of pesticides and have a lot of chemicals in them. And some people can purchase the paint, but most yards won't allow them to paint in the yard because obviously the yard itself has to carry so many different licenses and keep obligated to the amount of paints they're using and keep the records of that. So just setting all that aside, I would suggest that if you're in need of a bottom paint, you could usually tell by seeing the wear on it. If you're starting to see the fiberglass gel coat through the bottom, then you're needing a bottom paint. And if you have a barrier coat or a primer on the boat and you're starting to see that, you'll be looking to need a bottom paint. But you should always contact your yard and get in touch with them, and usually they'll do the job for you.
Okay, now you mentioned check all fluid levels. Why don't you enumerate on that, if you would?
Well, when you put your boat away, usually you're in a hurry to get it put away. And, you know, if you're changing your oils in the fall and you're going through your checklist quickly, so you change your oil, you change your generator oil, and you go through your transmission fluids and so on, but you're in a hurry, really, to get the boat put away and get off the boat. And last thing you need to do is to find out that you have an engine that's low on oil or hasn't been properly topped off. So before the boat even starts up or goes in the water, I suggest that you pull all sticks, engine oil levels, generator oil levels, transmission oil levels. Make sure that your fuel levels are all okay. Your fuel filter levels are all primed and okay. You should just go through and check everything, because it just takes one little mistake. And I've seen in situations where a boat has had a leaky oil pan, and, you know, during the winter, the boat has lost, the one engine has lost most of its oil. And if you're not down in there to look at it and see it, it could be a very costly problem.
Okay, now you say start the boat up in water and make sure that you're pumping water. Do you suggest you have a yard do that? I mean, it sounds pretty important. I know if you're not pumping water, you've got serious problems.
Well, you could have your yard do it. You know, if you know where your exhaust is coming out on your boat, if it's underwater, you could get an idea of whether you're pushing water out the transom, the back end of the boat.
Uh-huh.
And you can go down to the engines and put your hands on the manifolds and on the risers, and you could feel if anything's getting hot out of the ordinary. Usually on a spring startup, if you're going to overheat, you're going to overheat quickly. I don't suggest anybody to start up their boat, walk away and go have a cup of coffee, and then go back to the boat to find out that they just had an engine severely overheat. I would start the boat, I would stay with it, and I would keep an eye on the gauges and make sure that nothing's climbing fast. Usually an impeller, if an impeller's going to go, it's going to go at the startup, and it's going to go because it's just been sitting for 8 months, and the blade itself has been worn for a few years, and that overheat's going to take place quick.
Okay, the last item, and for those of you coming to the spring rendezvous, Captain Henry Marks of Landfall is a huge advocate of safety gear. He'll be speaking, and Jim, I guess the safety gear is something that you would often miss, just not really think to check, but that needs to be checked every spring also.
Absolutely. You should check all your flares, your flare guns, your life jackets, your throw rings. Anything safety on that boat should be checked annually, yearly.
How long do the flares usually last? I know they need to be replaced fairly often.
If I'm not mistaken, there is a 4-year replacement on it, I believe.
Is there? Okay. And your life vests, is there something special you should be doing with them to keep them long-lasting? I know there's some newer styles out that are probably easier to maintain.
Well, I've seen a lot of boats in my time where a lot of that stuff gets thrown into compartments that are not dry. It's the last thing that gets taken care of on the boat, and usually they're ripped or wet, or the ropes are all tangled up, and usually you can't get at them when you need them. I suggest to keep them up in a dry place, know where they are, and possibly label the compartment in the open to where any passengers that are on the boat know how to get to them and grab them in a hurry.
Okay. Is there anything else you can think of that we need to know to get our boats ready for spring?
I don't. I think you guys are all good.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate
Janice?
Your help. Again, any of our boaters heading up north, Winter Harbor is a great sponsor, and they've got wonderful services for you. And, Jim, thank you very much.
Janice, before we lose Jim?
Yes.
There's one thing he didn't mention that I would suggest, and that's to check all your running lights.
Ah.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Yes, you should always check your running lights, your anchor lights, anything that's in the navigation. Make sure that everything's operating because that stuff is needed.
Not only safety, I believe if you're boarded by the Coast Guard, you need to have your lights in operating condition.
Absolutely.
Anything else you can think of, Steve?
Nope. I think other than that, Jim, covered everything.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much. We're going to close the show now. Again, our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to become a member. And the shows are archived on our website and also on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio site. So if you'd like to go back and look at the list of our subjects, feel free or give me a call, 877-478-5667, extension 5040. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. Thanks.
Bye-bye.